ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीमद् भागवतम् कन्टो 3 चाप्टर् 23 टेक्स्ट् 3 ट्रान्स्लेशन् अण्ड् कामेण्ट्रि बै हिस् डिवैन् ग्रेस् ए सि भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी प्रभुपाद. ट्रान्स्लेशन्: Working sanely and diligently, she pleased her very powerful husband, giving up all lust, pride, envy, greed, sinful activities, and vanity. Purport: Here are some of the qualities of a great husband's great wife. Kadamuni is great by spiritual qualification. Such a husband is called Tejiyangsam, most powerful. Although a wife may be equal to her husband in advancement in spiritual consciousness, she should not be vainly proud. Sometimes it happens that a wife comes from a very rich family, as did David Huti, the daughter of Emperor Swayambhuvamanu. She could have been very proud of her parentage, but that is forbidden. The wife should not be proud of her parental position. She must always be submissive to the husband and must give up all vanity. As soon as the wife becomes proud of her parentage, her pride causes great misunderstanding between the husband and the wife, and their nuptial life is ruined. Devahuti was very careful about that, and therefore it is said here that she gave up pride completely. Devahuti was not unfaithful. The most sinful activity for a wife is to accept another husband or another lover. Chanakya Pandit has described 4 kinds of enemies at home. If the father is in debt, he is considered to be an enemy. If the mother has selected another husband in the presence of her grown-up children, she is considered to be an enemy. If a wife does not live well with her husband, but deals very roughly, then she is an enemy. And if the son is a fool, he is also an enemy. In family life, father, mother, wife, and children are assets. But if the wife or mother accepts another husband in the presence of her husband or son, then according to Vedic civilization, she is considered an enemy. A chaste and faithful woman must not practice adultery. That is a greatly sinful act. Srimad Bhagavatam is also known as Paramahamsa Sanghita. Treatise that is appreciated by Paramahamsas. Yasmin Paramahamsyam Jnanamekam Amalam. It's also stated this, herein is the knowledge which is appreciated by Paramahamsas, and is also appreciated by persons who are desirous to become Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa, we generally understand this to be a person situated on the topmost platform of spiritual life. A synonym for Paramahamsa is Sarangsh, or one who can accept the essence. Just like a swan, we are told, is able to extract milk from a mixture of milk and water. So herein is a description of the qualities of a chaste wife. Whereas Paramahamsas, another name for them will be Akinchan. They have nothing in this world. They aspire for nothing in this world. They are only dhan, Akinchan dhan. Krishna is the wealth of those who have nothing. Tvam Akinchan Agochar. You are available, Kunti Devi said to Krishna, you are available to those who have no other desire. So why is it being described about the marital life of Karma Muni and Devahuti? Well, obviously they weren't ordinary people. Their son happened to be the... Prabhupada used to say that sometimes. He used to say, happened. Not by chance, but their son was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although it appears from the text, it might appear like that, that Kadamuni himself was not fully on the transcendental platform. Because even when Lord Vishnu appeared to him, he didn't say, well, take me back to you. But he said, I'd like to get a wife. But he didn't ask for a film star for his wife, or an apsara. But he wanted a wife who would help him in his spiritual advancement. So, for this purpose, a wife should be accepted. The Manu says that putrate kriyate bharya. Manu Maharaj states that a wife should be accepted for the sake of having a son. But the son, what is that? Putra pinda prayojanam. Putra, one who... Putra means one who delivers from hell. Son is required for offering pinda, by which oneself and one's previous generations also are delivered from hellish life. Therefore, it is a duty. Devarshi bhutapta. What is that? Devarshi bhutapta rinam pitrinam. There are five kinds of debts that everyone has to the devas, the rishis, to people in general, to one's relatives. Devarshi bhutapta, to all living beings, like horses and cows that help in human society. And also there's a debt to the pitris, which is fulfilled by having a son. Son means putra, not mutra. Mutra and putra come from the same organ, but son means a son who is trained in dharmic principles and who will continue the family traditions. And in this way, save the forefathers from any happen chance descent into hell. And continue all the dharmic family traditions. In fact, the Srimad Bhagavatam, although it's Paramahamsa Sanghita, and the subject matter is Krishna, the format is like that of any other Purana. It's a story of families. The main theme running through Bhagavatam is Vamsa Anucharit, the description of the great families. Surya Vamsa and Soma Vamsa, these are the two great Kshatriya families that populated the world. And other family lines are also described. So what's this, describing families? These are not ordinary families. These are families in which great personalities appear. So Kadama Muni, he wanted a wife who could help him in his spiritual advancement. Son was required. It wasn't that we just get together and live together. But son, children are to be produced. Children, specifically son. At the time of marriage, the wife, the new wife is blessed, may you have 100 sons, not 100 daughters. Because the son is, nowadays of course there's a different outlook, but the son is, to have male children is considered more advantageous for, that may be on various platforms, but particularly because the male form is more advantageous for spiritual advancement. The word is there also in Sanskrit, putri. But the daughter will never offer pinda. The putra, that she, the Putri is just, it is derived from putra, but actually the daughter doesn't save from hell. The son has to do that. Of course she can do if she's a Vaishnavi. But in the ordinary Karmakandiya following of Varnashram, which most people follow, a son is required. So Karamuni is not an ordinary person. This we should understand. We should never think, well, Brahma is just some lusty man who chased after his daughter, and Shiva's lusty, he chased after Mohini Murti. We should never think like this. These are great personalities who may appear to be in some kind of illusion, and actually maybe, but that illusion is impelled by Krishna's Leela Shakti, just like Arjuna. Arjuna made the same objection. Lubdapindodaka, that if there's Varna Sankara, a result of this war, well, that the offerings of pinda and water to the forefathers, that will not take place, and then the whole society will fall down. So this Paramahamsa Sanghita is teaching us about the behavior of a wife, which you may think, well, what's that got to do with Krishna consciousness? But this knowledge is also required to help us on the path. How do we behave? Just like Arjuna asked Krishna that Sitapragyasya ka bhasha samadhi stasya keshava sthitadhi king prabhasheta kimasita vrajeta kim. He asked Krishna, what is the behavior of someone who is fixed in consciousness? How does he converse? How does he speak? How does he walk? How does he talk? He wants to know. It would be expected that the behavior of a perfect person is different to that of any Joe on the street, you know, or any Sunil on the street, or any ordinary person. You don't expect him to be an ordinary person. There must be something exceptional about him. So, certainly persons who are on a high platform of consciousness, their activities and attitudes are going to be different to those on lower platform of consciousness, because activities are impelled by consciousness. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is the Paramahamsa Sanghita and teaches us how Paramahamsas lead family life also. You may think, well, Paramahamsas shouldn't have family life, but they may do so. In this case, to produce a child who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also to show an example to human society of what is ideal family life, what is the ideal behavior of a husband, what is the ideal behavior of a wife. It's not expected from this narration that to be an ideal husband and wife, one has to perform severe austerities to the extent that Kardama Muni did. But Paramahamsa, they will take the essence. What is the essence of this relationship? How the husband is fully fixed in his purpose of life, spiritual realization, and the wife is fully fixed in assisting him. So that's the essence. And how does she do it? Giving up lusty desires. I want this, I want that. Giving up pride. I'm from a big family. Who are you? You're just some beggar. Dvisham. There may be some between husband and wife. Between two people living closely together, it can be like the rubbing of sticks. Some friction can be produced. So it may be just irrationally. That's why it's also said here, apramatta. Irrationally, someone may get to come to dislike someone for no real good reason. Maybe you just don't like some idiosyncrasy they have or something like this. In the modern age, it may be that, well, I want to watch this TV program. No, I want to watch the other TV program or some silly thing like that. and then they start fighting. So giving up dvesha, bad feeling, lobha, lobha which is closely related to kama. Desire means desire to enjoy, and lobha means desire to accumulate. So they're closely. Sinful activities, madam, vanity. Prabhupada notes in a purport in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam that generally for women, combing their hair is an important part of their life. Sitting in front of the mirror, combing their hair. And she only need to comb it for 1 or 2 minutes to get all the knots out, but they're going combing and brushing for hours, and then sitting with the lipstick and powder, this, that, the other. Vanity. To try to make the body look very beautiful and to take pleasure in looking at my beautiful face. Isn't it what? I look so nice. So this is vanity. It's, I don't know if there's a word directly in Sanskrit for that, but it's one kind of ahankar. So vanity, giving up all of these things. She served her husband very submissively. So these qualities that are described of great personalities in Bhagavatam, Mahabharat, in Ramayana, these are the qualities which shaped Indian civilization for so many years. And even 20 years ago in India, if it was described in general that these are the qualities that every woman should aspire for, to be very submissive and humble in serving her wife without any false prestige, then everyone, both men and women, mostly would accept that. But nowadays it's quite opposite. About 2 years ago here in Hyderabad, one lady who I happen to know from Dubai, she was moved to Hyderabad. They're Tamil, Ayas, smarter Brahmanas. So she came with her son, who at the time wasn't very much interested in devotional service. We even say he's from a pious Brahmin family. So she introduced me to him, and so I said to him that now, you see, you're probably going to get married soon. You're getting to that age, and so you're earning enough money. So don't throw your wife out to the office, and she'll be sitting among men. She doesn't, you know, she'll be knowing men more than you. And in this way, she'll be spoiled and there won't be anyone to look after the children. He said quite politely, but he objected and said, well, Swamiji, I believe that women, they should have a life of their own. In other words, I believe that my wife should be a prostitute. She should just be independent, svairini. Do whatever she likes. If she wants, she can do whatever she likes. So they've been trained differently now. There's this feminism, which is a very prominent influence in the world at the present time. It's a social theory that all over the world, men used to dominate women, but that's wrong. That women should have their own rights and be independent. So this is based on a misunderstanding of the purpose of life. Nate vidu swarjakatim hi Vishnu. That the goal of life is to attain Vishnu. That there is more to life than simply enjoyment. If we take the goal of life to be simply bodily enjoyment, then yes, women should live their own life, because you only live once and you've got to enjoy it. And why should you spend your life serving someone else and looking after these smelly, dirty children? And so just enjoy yourself while you're young. And what's the best enjoyment is sex. So why stick with one man? Go around with as many men as you can. If you get fed up of men, then women can go with women also, and the men can go with the men, and whichever way you want, as often as you can, and enjoy life. This is the modern way of thinking. That's why we find that the feminist movements which say that women should be independent, they're very much linked with the women, with the movements for homosexuality. It's another thing. Until recently, all over the world, homosexuality was considered sinful and disgusting. But now they say you have full rights. And now in Spain, which is a Catholic country, very traditional Catholic country, it's the first country in Europe to legalize that men can marry men and women can marry women and they can have children. They take some children from somewhere because they can't produce them, that's for sure. That's what marriage is for. Putrate kriyate bharya. And that's it, because they think, well, if you want to enjoy, if a man wants to enjoy a woman, that's okay. If a man wants to enjoy a man, it's okay. But it's not according to the laws of Shastra. It's demoniac and sinful. So these two movements, they always support each other. And as soon as they start changing the way of thinking that, well, women, they don't have to be mothers and look after their children, and they can marry 6-7 times, and men can also, all this different thing. So as soon as they bring that in Kami society, then the next thing they bring in is the homosexual rights. Gay, women's rights and gay rights. And it's the same in ISKCON. First they brought the women's rights, and now they're lobbying for homosexual marriage in ISKCON also. So these are demoniac tendencies, as Prabhupada clearly stated, that the sexual appetite of one man for another is demoniac. But people are arguing that, well, it's not demonic, it's natural. Some people, they're born like that, but it's not natural. Even heterosexuality is not natural. What is natural is to serve Krishna. But the heterosexual appetite can be dovetailed in the service of Krishna by having children and training them to be devotees. Whereas the homosexual appetite cannot. That's simply degraded and leads to more and more degradation. Even the relationship between man and wife, if not according to religious principles, that's also degraded and leads to more degradation. So this information is very important. We're coming to devotional service and we're trained, this is your bead bag, put your hands in and Hare Krishna, chant your rounds and follow Ekadashi and don't take this and don't take that. But so this is all very good. This is helping us to come to the transcendental platform. But we often overlook that we haven't, in the modern age, we're not even trained how to live as human beings. So we're brought up, the modern education and the whole modern ethos teaches us how to live as demons and go to hell. And the whole culture we're brought up in is demoniac. So what we're seeing is that often devotees, they retain the same demonic, unless we teach these things to devotees, they tend to retain the same demoniac ideas. And they think, because they don't know. It might be there in Prabhupada's books, but if we don't speak it, then devotees don't take it very seriously. And then they think, well, it's just something in the books, that's all. It's some kind of cultural oddity. But this thing, you see, women have to serve their husbands. They have to have husbands. That's the first thing. They go half their life, they're like 29 years old, and then they start to think about having a husband. That by the time they've already had about 6 or 7 boyfriends, at least. They've been independent so long, they can never dream of what they don't even like. They're against the idea of independence. And they're trained in the schools to think that women should not be submissive. And then they have a hellish family life, because the woman's always trying to put down the man. And they can't be happy even on the human platform. What kind of children they're going to have. So this is given in Shastra. These are Shastric information, how we can live at least a human way of life. And on that, from that platform, develop spiritual consciousness. But the modern way of life is actually demoniac. This idea that we should all enjoy and everyone's meant to enjoy, and you can't really develop Krishna consciousness if we still have this modern way of thinking. It's not really modern, it's just demoniac. We say modern because from our perspective, it's something that's come up recently, but it's there always in human society, this demoniac way of thinking, but sometimes it becomes more prominent and sometimes less so. So this kind of training was previously given to young girls from the beginning of life. How to be like Sita. Not how to be like a film star. Film star means prostitute. Means they're just showing off their body to all the men, and now they want, now they're promoting, oh, my daughter should go to the Miss India contest, and they become very proud. Why proud? It means you're promoting that your daughter is just degraded. But people think, well, this is nice. We should wear different fashions, and women should cut their hair and have all different hairstyles. They don't think, we don't want to tie our hair up. Why is the hair tied up? They just think it's some old fashion. But there's a purpose to that, is that the hair, that's an attractive feature. So it should be tied up and covered, because the wife is meant for one, she's meant to be enjoyed by one man, not by every man, but because they're trained in this consciousness, they're brought up that, oh, they see on the TV the girls, they mix up and they want to do like that. So they think, let me put my hair out and dress very attractively to attract every man. So it's prostitute consciousness. And that's all. A woman who wants to attract every man means, what is that? Well, I just said it. There's no need to say it again and again, but this is what's going on. So that's why the culture is that, what is that? Sorry, I'm very tired. What's that from Manu? Prabhupada quotes so many times. Striyams Swatantra, what is it? Naivam Striyam Swatantra Marhati, something like that. Prabhupada quotes that. Prabhupada quotes again and again that women should never be independent. In the childhood, they should be under the protection of their parents. In youth, they should be under the protection of their husband. And then in old age, they should be in the protection of their sons. Protection means you can't just do what you like. You say, well, I just want to go off by myself somewhere. You go off by yourself, then you're unprotected. So it cannot be allowed. The husband will say, no, you cannot go. The gopis are praised because they left. Their husbands protested, but still they went to Krishna. But that's not for imitation. That's the gopis. That's Leela. But for the... In generally in society, that should be followed. Otherwise, by independence of women, then the whole society simply becomes filled with lust. Women are mixing up with men are mixing up with women, and lust destroys everything. As soon as lust becomes prominent in society, then there's no question of spiritual advancement, there's no question of peace of mind. So this lust is very dangerous, therefore the whole Vedic society is organized to control that lust. The marriage institution is there to control and channel that in a manner that is useful for society. The marriage of Kadama and Devahuti is glorious because that will bring forth children, or the one child who is a great asset to society. So marriage that is called Kalyanam, that is considered something for the welfare of society, if the husband and wife are trained in religious principles and will bring forth children who will be an asset to society by their behavior, by the culture that they continue to uphold, by their spiritual advancement. But we can't say that Ravana's marriage is Kalyanam. Ravana, whatever a demon does, is for the Jagat Ahita. It is for the non-benefit of society. So marriage is called Kalyanam, but it's actually Kalyana if the boy and girl are trained in religious principles, and they actually, you say even the wife isn't independent, but men are also not independent. Only some limited, the boy and girl get married, they still remain, the boy still remains under the control of his father. He's also not independent. No one is independent. Actually, the only independent person is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Brahmanas have some independence because they follow the rules of Shastra, which are the rules of God. And the Kshatriyas, again, some independence. They have some independence because they're trusted not to misuse that. But there's also checks and balances. Just like I was talking the other day, how the Brahmanas, if they don't follow their principles, they're rejected from Brahmana society. Then they become a chandal. How the Kshatriyas, if they misbehave, in the worst instance, just like Vena Maharaj, the Brahmanas, by mantra, they killed him because he was misusing his position so badly. So, actually, no one has, when it said, Nastriyam Swatantra Mahati, that's it, I forgot, now I got it right. When it said women shouldn't be independent, actually no one should be independent. But particularly, the women should not have, they should have very limited, they should be controlled, actually. Once Trivikram Swami told that, he said to Prabhupada that he was telling Prabhupada about his life prior to coming to Krishna consciousness. And he said, well, actually, my mother was an alcoholic. And Prabhupada was surprised. He said, oh, you couldn't control her? You couldn't discipline her? Prabhupada expected the son should tell the mother, you don't drink, stop, and she should follow. Of course, that's a dream. In modern life, the women, they just want, everyone wants to do what I like. I, me, mine. This is the purpose of my life. I have a husband, the husband is, what can he do for me? Can he bring in money? Can he give me enjoyable sex? If not, then there are plenty of other men. So this is the demoniac way of thinking. Aham mameti. I, me and mine. But the Vedic culture trains us to give up that consciousness. Actually, the position of woman is very good because she's trained in all the good qualities, submissiveness, service, which are very good if they're channeled towards Krishna. But the modern society is training us to be proud, even though we have nothing to be proud about. But simply puffed up over nothing. And is creating disaster in society. That again, Arjuna was afraid that by the women are unprotected, they will become corrupt. And then there will be Varna Sankara. And the unwanted children, or children who are born without sanskaras, just born out of lust. And such children, they will make a hell in the world. So that's what's going on nowadays. No one is performing sanskar, very rare. Husband and wife, they come together out of lust. And it's considered more and more, it's considered that the main purpose of married life is to enjoy lust. And then the children are just an unwanted product of lust, and they're born in lust, and they're raised in lust. And then we can't expect that any peace in society from such bad, unwanted byproducts. So it's a very dangerous situation in human society. So we should begin in our Krishna conscious movement training these things. There's a tendency within our movement to try to go along with the modern demoniac way of thinking and at the same time be devotees. Young girls come and we don't tell them that, look, you've got to stop wearing your t-shirt. That's just one to promote lust. And all these things, that you should understand what is the behavior of a chaste woman. And no one is teaching. And then they get married, and even get married to a devotee, and they're miserable because they have no idea how to live as husband and wife. No one ever told them. And the only idea they have is what they got from Cineblitz. So what kind of marriage are you going to have? It'll be simply miserable. I'm seeing. Gurus get to know all the problems. That even devotees are getting married, but because they have no training in what it means to live as human beings, and still the young wife is wanting to go to work, and the other women are telling her, why do you want to stay at home? Go to work. Go and mix up with all other men, and don't stay at home and cook for your husband. And so they're encouraging, we find even within the society of our devotees, they're encouraging demoniac attitudes and behavior. So how can we establish Krishna consciousness? In the morning we chant our rounds, and in the day we, all day long, we act in a demoniac manner, joking. Some married woman is spending all her day joking with a man who's not her husband, she has no relationship of any kind with. I mean, in Vedic culture, the wife, she goes before the elder brother of her husband, she can't joke with him. What to speak of someone, no relationship. This is civilized culture, but we think, yeah, we'll be devotees and at the same time we'll be demons. But we don't recognize. We think demon means Ravana, but this whole modern culture, it's demoniac. It's based on the demoniac principle, we shall enjoy. You don't like your husband? Well, divorce him. That's all. That's what's written in BTG. That I didn't like my husband wasn't very spiritual, so I divorced him. So we should understand, we have to read these books and we have to propagate these things in our society. Otherwise, it'll be a mess unless we follow the directions of Shastra. Then, as Lord Krishna states in Shastra, Ya Shastra Vidimutraja Vartate Kama Karataha Nasasidhim Avapnoti Nasukam Naparam Gatim. If we don't follow Shastra, then what to speak of Param Gati? We cannot attain Sukh or Shanti or Siddhi. There's no question. So we think, well, we'll follow Shastra, we'll just follow the Bhakti Shastra. But this is Bhakti Shastra, Srimad Bhagavatam, in which it's described how to live a sane human life. And it's not according to Freud. It's not according to some modern psychologist who has no idea of the purpose of life. This is according to Vyasadeva. By not accepting this, the first thing we become an offender to Vyasadeva. If we think we have to learn about, we'll learn about bhakti from Vyasadeva, but how to conduct our lives, we'll learn from some management consultant or some psychologist, then immediately this becomes offensive to Vyasadeva. We're immediately fallen if we don't accept Shastra. So we have to be very careful. There's the dharmic path and the adharmic path. You can't be a devotee and be a ravana at the same time. The two things don't go. You see, what is the behavior of saintly people? Kunti Devi. Draupadi, of course, was exceptional, but she also didn't act in a demoniac manner. Now, I may say the gopis, but the gopis' example is not applicable to our daily life. For one thing, we're not on the platform of the gopis. And for another thing, that's very clearly Leela, that they never actually had those husbands. Their husbands never touched them. They didn't have a social relationship with their husbands. But if we see the example of generations of devotees, that they, as Lord Krishna himself teaches Arjuna, you have to perform your worldly duty and be Krishna conscious side by side. Because if we think that, well, I'll just give up everything and be Krishna, I'll give up everything including my husband, including my wife and be Krishna conscious, but we can't do it. I've seen in ISKCON in the West so many times people say, well, I can't get on with my husband, I can't get on with my wife, I'll just divorce. They divorce. And then again, they get married again. Because they have the lusty desire. It's not that they're so advanced. Now I want to renounce. But if they didn't renounce their lusty desire, so then they become actually sinful by marrying again. If a wife gives up one husband in the name of Krishna and then marries again, then that's very sinful. You're using, in the name of Krishna, you're justifying sinful activities. So it's better we give up this puffed up idea that our modern psychologists, they know more than Vyasadeva, they know more than our acharyas, they know more than Prabhupada, and accept what is in Shastra. What Prabhupada took the trouble to translate for us and give lengthy purports on, and we say, well, we don't believe in this. Then what? Who did we become? Did we become Kunti Devi? Or did we become Putana? What is our position? We should... This Indian culture, traditional Indian culture, that is the culture which fosters self-realization. And it is the greatest foolishness of India that the Indian people want to give this up and become like Rakshasas. And you'll get it. You're going to have it. Within a short time, it won't be safe to walk on the streets of Hyderabad because there'll be gangs of children coming up and attacking you, just like in the West. It'll be the same thing. You may say, well, that couldn't happen here. That's what they said about divorce. They said, well, it can't happen here. Now divorce is as common. He said, it can't happen. You're bringing everything Western and you think that this won't be there. It will be there. All these horrible things are coming because you're so eagerly embracing this demoniac culture. How foolish. As Prabhupada said, Indians are the most foolish people in the world. Because they've got the best culture and they're deliberately throwing it away. So many mistakes, one after another. So at least our Krishna conscious movement, it should uphold and promote the actual culture which is given by our acharyas. Within our movement, we need to teach these things. Otherwise we teach, you chant Hare Krishna and you talk about Vraj Leela and all these things, but we don't, like I say, we don't even know how to live as human beings. So we're talking Vraj Leela, but then even husband and wife can't live peacefully. The most normal thing that would be expected, husband and wife can live peacefully, they can't, because they don't know how to. So these things are required. Any comments or questions?
Maharaj,
as we're talking about Vedic culture, this is something that Prabhupada also taught. You give and receive things with your right hand. It's called Shishtacha. Your bodily forefathers would have chastised you for that. I'm now in the position of something like your uncle, so I'm chastising you for that. Give and take things with the right hand. All right? It's not as major a point as the ones we've been discussing in the class, but it's all part of the culture.
Maharaj, as we know that in the present day scenario in Kali Yuga, society is so degraded that many of the cultural aspects of Vedic culture are very, very difficult to revive. So, how practical...
Which things are difficult to revive?
Many of the, family traditions and these things.
It's not necessarily difficult to revive. We just have to preach to people about the necessity of them, and then they can take it up. Even in the Western countries, some devotees, they want to follow this because they read Prabhupada's books, or this book I made, Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life, they read and they think, well, this is a much better way of life than the one we have. So it's a matter of convincing people and then training them, that's all. Revati Raman Prabhu was telling me he saw something in, there was some magazine article or something that they interviewed young people from the forward class or whatever you call it in the metros, in the four metros, who are like from well-to-do families, and they made some sociological survey and they said that a majority of them said, we actually like the old Indian way of life better. It's much better. But we're caught up in this modern way of life, and what can we do? We can't get out of it. So we should show the way. But we do need a lot of infrastructure, that's for sure. Just like most of our temples, we don't even have any, or our communities, we don't have brahmanas who can perform the different sanskars. And even if you have them, like recently I had a very bad experience that one of my disciples got married, and he wanted to get married in the temple, and then the devotee priest was worse than the kami priest, who's squeezing out money and acting very badly. So he's not a Brahmin, he's got a thread around him, but he's worse than the pandas at Radha Kund or something like this. So we need this, we need, and then astrologers, we need people who can teach tell Mahabharata, and who can tell the stories, and the children, and so many things. We don't have even education for our children. So we do, it's true, we need a lot. It can be done, but we need a lot of infrastructure. We have to think about these things. Think about it and do it.
So, Maharaj, my question is...
Prabhupada was very much concerned with social development. He wanted these Varnashram communities. Because we're busy preaching. What comes after that? People become devotees. But practically speaking, we're saying it's very difficult for people to maintain in devotional service because they're living in the demoniac society. And especially so in the Western countries. It's difficult for our... Most of our devotees are going to be grihasthas. Great majority. And it's difficult enough in India to maintain Krishna consciousness for the grihasthas. And in the West, it's just like some brahmacharis I'm bringing from the West to India, and they're thinking that if I go back to the West, then I'll get married, then I'm finished. Because that's the... Most of the devotees, once they're married and they get caught up in the materialistic way of life, and their spiritual life goes right down because of bad association and this. So we don't have an infrastructure. Prabhupada wanted these farm communities where we could live together and help each other be Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada, he was concerned about that. Otherwise, we're preaching, we make more and more devotees, so many more come in the door, and in the meantime, the old batch is going out. That's why you meet someone, oh, yes, I was initiated in 1980s. Oh, really? Whoa, you survived. Everyone should survive. There should be a few who don't go out the door. But the way it is, we're so busy making new devotees, but we don't maintain the old ones. Maybe one of the reasons is in our training. Even we're giving, nowadays, it's good, we started Shastric training in philosophy, but we also need training in culture and behavior. And that means the whole way of life, attitudes to life. And as you may be aware, this one of my main concerns is that the attitudes of women that are being inculcated nowadays are very destructive to society. But they're being trained that you're just being exploited. If you don't serve your husband, you're just being exploited. Well, Prabhupada said, better to be exploited by one man than by every man. That was Prabhupada's reply to that. Then you become a sex symbol, or a prostitute, in another word. That you're just trying to attract all different men. And that what happens when you get, 32, 33, 34, 30, the body's no longer attractive, and there's younger women who are more attractive, and however much you put on lipstick and this and that, you're not very attractive. So your independence and enjoyment lasts up to the age of maybe 30, 33, 34. And maybe you can find some older, 60-year-old men as you go towards 40. But then after that, you're finished. No one's interested. One of my sisters, she was one of the early feminists, and she never married. She had, I don't think even she can remember all the boyfriends she had. But now she's finished, She's 50 years old, and no one likes her. She has no friends. Even my father, who's a very liberal kind of person, even he's disgusted with her. So that's it. You just end up as a frustrated old woman with no friends, no children, no respectability in society. And you have a lonely old age. No one cares for you. That's what you get. That's the reality of your independence, enjoying. So it's actually advantageous for women to have fixed themselves up on one husband, look after their children, and just lead what would be previously be considered a normal, respectable life, and of course be Krishna conscious. But if you think, well, I'll be Krishna conscious and we'll just follow the modern way of thinking, then you'll be a disturbance, because you may think, oh, well, I'm very Krishna conscious. But actually, as Prabhupada noted in one letter, all the women who come to our society, actually they're looking for husbands. So we don't. If there's no arrangement for that, then it simply causes a disturbance. That instead of men and young men and young women coming to the temple for Krishna, well, they're coming for Krishna, but they have some other motive also. So that causes a disturbance.
Yes. My question was that in the present modern scenario, how can one get the necessary support and strength to be able to live by these principles?
How can we live by these principles? How do we get support? Well, we should all support each other. And there should be arrangements. So those who are devotees, who are going to get married, how they're going to get married, help them. Previously, there would be, within the family, it was all very strict, and the older people would guide the younger people, but many times the devotees, their parents are not devotees, or they want them to be demons. So then our older grihasthas, they have to help the younger grihasthas. Everyone has to help everyone else and support and encourage. What do you think, Vedanta Chaitanya Prabhu? Young grihastha. Any comments? No? Old grihastha? Generally, devotees don't like to talk about these things. They're too controversial. They're afraid that someone will come and with a machine gun and shoot them or something verbal. Anyway, I'm a rhinoceros. They call me a dinosaur, but I'm also a rhino. I've got thick skin. I've had lots of bullets shot at me and I don't care anymore. So we have to speak as Prabhupada spoke. Prabhupada was very open about these things. Even people were against him. He was very open. So we should also do for the benefit of human society. If we don't speak because we're afraid that people won't like us, that means we are more interested in our own sense gratification. People will like me, I will be popular. Than what is actually for the benefit of human society. So popularity or unpopularity, that shouldn't be our motive. We should think, what is for people's benefit? The doctor has to give the medicine and the child is screaming at him and biting him, but still he has to give it. All right, I'll finish there. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.